The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
In Minneapolis, the jury has begun deliberating in the murder trial of former police officer Derek Chauvin. Plus, from cell phones to computers to cars, manufacturers are having trouble meeting demand. The problem? A global chip shortage.
A lot of industry experts expect it would take at least up until next year, if not even longer, for this chip shortage issue to be resolved.
We'll explain why it could take so long to get back on track. And NASA's Ingenuity helicopter hovers into history on Mars. It's Monday, April 19th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal with a PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Jury deliberations in the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who is accused of killing George Floyd, have begun in Minneapolis. Chauvin has pleaded not guilty to charges of second and third degree murder and second degree manslaughter. Video evidence from bystanders, police body camera, and other footage has played a central role in the trial, and some of it was shown again during closing arguments today. Steve Slisher, a special assistant attorney general for the prosecution, urged the jury to believe what they saw.
This case is exactly what you thought when you saw it first, when you saw that video. It is exactly that. You can believe your eyes. It's exactly what you believed. It's exactly what you saw with your eyes. It's exactly what you knew. It's what you felt in your gut. It's what you now know in your heart. This wasn't policing. This was murder. The defendant is guilty of all three counts. All of them. And there's no excuse.
Defense attorney Eric Nelson has argued that Floyd died of a heart condition and drugs found in his system. He said the prosecution had failed to prove Chauvin's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt and urged the jury to consider more than just the video footage.
The use of force is an incredibly difficult analysis. You can't limit it to 9 minutes and 29 seconds. It started 17 minutes before that 9 minutes and 29 seconds. All of this information has to be taken, you have to look at it from the totality of the circumstances. You have to look at it from the reasonable police officer standard. You have to take into account that officers are human beings, capable of making mistakes in highly stressful situations.
We have the latest on the trial on our website, wsj.com. The Medical Examiner's Office in Washington, D.C. has concluded that Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick, who died a day after the January 6th attack on the Capitol, suffered a stroke and died of natural causes. The conclusion does not draw links to the riot. Two men were arrested last month on charges of assaulting Sicknick with a chemical spray, but prosecutors and the medical examiner didn't link the spray to the officer's death. The social media app Parler, which became tied up in a free speech debate, could be reinstated in Apple's App Store. According to a letter sent to Republican lawmakers today, Apple says it plans to reinstate a revised version of the app with improved content moderation. Apple was among the big tech companies that severed ties with Parler in the wake of the January Capitol riot over what they called objectionable content on its site. Parler was also used as a forum for some people involved in the Capitol riot to discuss their plans. Parler has said that it referred dozens of examples of violent content to the FBI in the weeks before the mob gathered in D.C. The social app's hands-off moderating policy had been lauded by supporters of then-President Trump, including Senators Mike Lee and Ken Buck, who posted the letter from Apple on Twitter. Apple declined to comment. The British government is conducting a national security review of a $40 billion deal through which NVIDIA would buy ARM, a British chip designer, from the Japanese conglomerate SoftBank. That comes in addition to an antitrust review already underway. The deal is also expected to face scrutiny in the U.S., the EU, and China because it would reshape the chip industry. NVIDIA is the world's leading graphic chip designer. ARM designs the basic blueprints for the chips in 95% of the world's smartphones. A spokesman for NVIDIA said it doesn't believe the transaction, quote, poses any material national security issues. We'll talk more about the challenges to resolving the global chip shortage coming up later in the show. The Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union is appealing the results of a unionization vote among Amazon warehouse workers in Bessemer, Alabama, and seeking a new election. The union is alleging that Amazon intimidated and threatened employees to vote no. More than 70% of workers who cast their ballots voted against forming a union. An Amazon spokeswoman says the company followed the law in communicating with employees during the election and did not intimidate voters. The National Labor Relations Board is expected to review the union's complaint before it decides whether to certify the election's results. Coming up after the break, why it might take a while for the semiconductor industry to get back to normal.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
A global chip shortage is impacting everything from automobiles to home appliances. Experts say it's unlikely to end anytime soon. The industry is struggling to ramp up production to meet demand, but has been saddled by a series of crises on top of the pandemic. And it turns out there aren't any easy fixes. Joining me now from Seoul, South Korea, to talk about the ongoing challenges is Wall Street Journal reporter In-Young Jong. Hi, In-Young. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So there are several factors behind the chip shortage we've been reporting on this year. Can you talk about the various factors that have been putting a strain on the supply chain recently?
There are a number of factors, as you mentioned. I mean, one of the main reasons, and the most obvious one, is the coronavirus pandemic, which really threw many manufacturers, including chip makers, off balance in terms of what demand is going to look like. On top of that, there were additional events that rarely happen for the industry, which kind of all happened at once. One is a fire that happened in Japan that affected a company called Renesas, which makes chips that goes into cars. Another is a storm in Texas that caused a power outage and made chip making plants there halt production for a while. There's also another factor that industry experts are expecting to impact supply, not at the moment, but shortly, which is a drought in Taiwan, which is one of the main epicenters for making chips in the world. And a drought is problematic for the industry because semiconductor production requires a lot of water, which there isn't much of in Taiwan at the moment.
In-Young, can you give us a sense of the widespread use of chips? I think there may be a tendency to assume these are for high-tech applications, but they're really used across industries, right?
Yes. Basically, you can say that chips exist in almost all products that run on electricity. So that can be everything from TVs, laptops, smartphones, even cars, because a lot of cars these days, even ones that run on gasoline or diesel, have a lot of functions in them that require electricity, like the display screens that you would see in a car.
Now, as we're seeing this play out across industries, the auto industry is a big one that's impacted here. Some factories are having to halt production. How else are we seeing this sort of playing out across these various industries that use chips?
The auto industry has been one of the industries that's been most widely reported about. And there we've seen the major automakers from Toyota to GM halt production temporarily because they don't have enough chips that need to go into cars. For other manufacturers, that I've spoken with, they've been juggling this in a variety of ways. One manufacturer that I spoke with that makes products in China told me that they've asked their engineers to allocate part of their time that they would usually just use to build new products to redesign existing products so that they could work on different types of chips in case the chips that they usually use don't arrive on time. Other manufacturers have told me that they started stockpiling inventory for about a year, which is quite rare, especially for smaller businesses that don't have enough cash flow to do so.
So it sounds like this is going to be complicated to fix. What are some of the challenges right now to getting the industry back on track to where it was pre-pandemic?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is that the semiconductor industry is an industry that doesn't have spare production capacity. Because it's so expensive to build and equip facilities to produce chips, chip makers usually build a facility and they run it at full capacity pretty much, around the clock. And because of that, the sudden demand is something they can't respond to immediately. At the same time, it takes roughly 2 to 3 years to build a new production plant, which means that even companies that are coming forward now and announcing new investments aren't really going to see their production capacity expand until 2 to 3 years down the road. Now, there are some small tweaks that chip makers can do at this point to increase production, but you can only increase production so much without additional equipment, without additional production facilities. So at the current point in time, there isn't that much that chip makers can do. And because of that, a lot of industry experts expect it would take at least up until next year, if not even longer, for this chip shortage issue to be resolved.
Wow, that's a long estimate. So is the funding that President Biden has set aside to address this problem going to help? How might that be used?
That is going to be helpful. President Biden has set aside, I believe, $50 billion within his infrastructure plan to help boost the semiconductor industry. That is something that will definitely help the industry for sure. At the same time, the estimates that have been put out by the Semiconductor Industry Association, which is a US-based trade group, have said in order for the US to be self-sufficient in producing all the chips that the US needs, it would require more than $1.4 trillion in investment and government incentives over a decade for the US to be able to do this. So while, you know, investment in any form, in any shape or form is helpful at this point, it's hard to say how much that will be able to immediately help the industry.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter In-Young Jung joining me from Seoul. In-Young, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And finally, mission engineers at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory were celebrating this morning after the Mars Ingenuity helicopter successfully took off for its historic first flight.
Altimeter data confirms that Ingenuity has performed its first flight, the first flight of a powered aircraft on another planet.
The 4-pound drone had to overcome extreme cold, dangerously thin air, and an unexpected software update to rise just 10 feet in the air. Our science writer Robert Lee Hotz says Ingenuity could be even more important than NASA's Perseverance rover in the mission to search for signs of life on the red planet.
Drones could give us eyes, ears, a sense of smell in places, to use Mars as an example, like one of the deepest canyons in the solar system, and certainly the highest volcano in the solar system, places that are just always going to be inaccessible to a remotely controlled wheeled vehicle. You could fly, you could take a look. And if there comes a time when we land human astronauts on Mars, these aerial vehicles, these little drones could serve as scouts for them to look over the next hill to find resources, to seek perhaps places where water might be more readily available, or simply to check out places that are much too dangerous, like, the crevasses of an ice cap or something like that. Much too dangerous for human explorers to venture into.
You can see pictures and videos of Ingenuity's historic flight on our website at WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.